Hello, and welcome to In the Limelight, Vanity Fair's entertainment and pop culture podcast. I'm Josh Duboff, Vanity Fair senior writer, and I'm here with Julie Miller, Vanity Fair senior Hollywood writer.
On In the Limelight, we analyze the ins and outs of pop culture, entertainment, and celebrity from the past week, from the Kardashians to Meghan Markle and everything in between.
That felt so good. I feel like that felt way more natural than I thought it was going to, that we mixed it up. That was thanks to a Twitter user who suggested that we change the intro, and I love it.
Haven't even thought of it. We really hadn't.
So I think this is accurate to say that the entire, we've been doing In the Limelight now for over a year, I think a year and a few weeks. And yeah, because our first episode was the right after the election. And we, I feel like the way it all started when we started this podcast, when Meghan Markle started dating Prince Harry, right around when we started, it just, we sort of inadvertently have become an obsessive Meghan Markle podcast in a way. Like that's our, right. That's our B plot or something, or A plot, I guess. What am I saying? B plot.
She's kind of our muse, our spirit guide.
So I think we sort of both feel, I think, right, Julie, it's fair to say that everything's been leading up to this moment, their engagement.
It feels right. It really feels right that it came out today. I don't know why, but the timing just lined up.
Yeah. Sometimes when Meghan Harry news comes out on the day after we record and we feel, Julie and I both kind of sigh that we missed it by a week, but this was as if Meghan knew we needed it today, coming out of the Thanksgiving break. We have so much to discuss about this. This is our special episode, emergency edition. I guess we should, where should we even start?
Well, I think, let's start with, what was your, like, did you know this was coming this morning? What was your first reaction?
So I guess around Wednesday of last week, the day before Thanksgiving, I started seeing on Twitter that it was coming. And I saw someone on Twitter who was sort of like on in the British press who said they were on alert as well. So it seemed like the media, US and UK, had given a heads up the middle of last week. So that's when I sort of realize, I think we both did, that it was probably coming very quickly. I think there was a lot of people who thought it was going to happen the Friday after Thanksgiving, which seemed, I thought, would be really strange, you know, when on like a holiday weekend in the US. But that obviously didn't happen. I guess even though I thought, I guess for some reason, because then it didn't happen on Friday, and then I sort of hadn't really been focusing on it. So even though I knew it was coming this morning, I was still sort of surprised somehow. I mean, I obviously knew it was about to happen, but I still felt this kind of initial shock when I looked at my phone and saw.
And I love that the first thing I noticed when I looked at my phone was all of the In the Limelight tweets, people in the UK waiting for us to wake up to get the news. So that was really special.
It was great.
I felt some bit of like maternal pride that Meghan finally did it. She reached, this is like a video game for her, and she's finally reached the final stage.
I felt like when we were seeing all the tweets, it was like, you know, when kids are trying to wake up their parents to, you know, give them presents or something. I felt like the tweets were all our little kids waiting for us to wake up. And then we woke up.
And then we didn't even have to wait long, because almost immediately, I feel like there was the photo call.
Yes.
The Sunken Garden at Kensington Palace.
Yeah, by 9 a.m., by the time I was like heading into the office, they'd already done the photo call. So it all happened really early. And then obviously we were going to do a full breakdown, don't you guys worry, of the 20-minute proposal interview right. video. But let's start with the photo call, I guess. Did you watch the little video of them coming out? It was, you know, about a minute.
I saw them walking underneath the trellis, and I was very excited because I had been at the Sunken Garden earlier this year, so I felt like I knew the layout. But what did they do? They just walked to the end of it, posed for some photos, and walked back?
You are Meghan Markle. Did you feel any kinship to her from, like, I feel like once you posed as she did in the Whole Foods setup? Wait, was that near?
Oh my God.
That's in a different area, though. That wasn't by the Sunken Garden.
Funny story, though. I got to the Sunken Garden and my phone died. And this just was not acceptable. So you can ask my brother and sister, like a maniac, I sprinted back to the hotel a full mile to get my backup battery and ran back. By the time I got back, my sister and brother had left because they were like, we're not staying here. But I had to like document.
Yeah, of course.
I'll post some photos later.
Yeah, we need a full retrospective of Julie's sunken in the place where Meghan and Harry stood today. I thought that the photo call is like an inherently awkward business. Just the, you know, right. walking out. I remember Will and Kate doing it, but for some reason I hadn't been focusing on the time of how strange it is. But I think maybe this is her actress upbringing, and he's obviously very familiar with appearances, but they both looked surprisingly comfortable doing the weird photo call, I thought.
Well, Meghan Markle has never looked more comfortable with anything than she has with these both of these press opportunities this morning. Like, I'm surprised she didn't arrange a full Gloria Allred style press conference in front of, like, Buckingham Palace.
It's true. She really does. I think what's been funny about this whole Meghan journey, not to get too intellectual about this, but is that she's been so hidden, kind of. Like, we always talk about how she doesn't give interviews. She doesn't Instagram anymore. We don't really have a sense. And I feel like today I got so much Meghan Markle, like more than I've gotten in a year and a half of writing about her and following her, because I feel like now all of a sudden she was able to like talk at length about Prince Harry and their relationship and what she's doing. So I just feel like it was all of a sudden she was able to, you know, the film was released, so to speak.
Right. It was kind of like that with Kate Middleton too. Remember when she had the interview? It was almost like the Little Mermaid when she gets her voice back. Like, you don't know what she's going to sound like.
Yeah, Kate Middleton. That's so true. I remember thinking I had no idea what her voice. I still barely know what her voice sounds like, because she does. There's so few opportunities where they like speak in an interview setting. They don't do that kind of PR stuff. So yeah, you can definitely see she was ready to roll. Do you think she practiced the photo call, or like, how do you think she knew how to handle that so skillfully?
Well, I want to know, to meet the person in the palace who was tasked with giving her that whole Miss Congeniality style makeover, because I feel like that was the biggest preparation period she had, because, you know, they tossed all those ripped jeans into a bonfire.
Yeah.
And she looked so chic in this white trench.
Did you find the white coat to be sort of Kate-esque? I thought it was a little different, but it, like, the idea of wearing this like solid colored coat, as you're saying, it's so different than her usual style. I was a little bit surprised, or not surprised. I guess it makes sense. She kind of has a new look going now, but it was a different kind of look.
Kate's still a little bit more conservative and a little, I don't want to say classy, but do I want to? This is a little more fashion forward. This is,
yes, with the kind of giant, the like bow thing. What was it? Like, yeah.
Kind of a wrap style.
Love when we dip into fashion. but I thought the way she was clasping Harry's hand, the way they were clasping each other's hands, it was like the circulation was going to get cut off. Like, I guess you really have to show that affection in those kind of scenarios when everyone's photographing you. But I was like, damn, I've never held on to anyone that tight. It was a grasp.
It is weird with these photo calls that they kind of try to make it seem organic, like the couple's just going on like a casual garden walk.
Yes, that's 100% what's weird about it, because it's like half casual, as if like, oh, didn't fancy seeing all of you reporters here. But then obviously, and then also I think it's weird that they don't get mic'd, so it's like a pseudo press conference sort of, because it's like they have that reporter, I guess, who's stationed to ask questions, but then they're not mic'd, so you can't really hear the answers.
So then what you're left with is these reporters who are on the ground tweeting these insane things about, like, Meghan just put her arm on the small of Harry's back as if to reassure him he did a good job. People are just reading into the physical.
I saw the Daily Mail had, like, of course, which I haven't even been able to parse yet because today's been so crazy, but like the 12 body language signs from the photo call. Like, they were analyzing just in that 90-second walk all the signs and their body language, like how you would break down what the relationship means based on how their bodies were connecting.
Well, I am a little disappointed that there are not already GIFs from that photo call walk. I tried to find one to tweet out to
but not yet. Well, you can guarantee our Twitter account will be the first. Oh, side note, because like there's just so much, I feel like we're just gonna have to go off on these little detours, but the Kensington Royal Instagram story about the engagement, I was just laughing because the first story was like, Prince Harry and Meghan Markle are engaged. But it just reminded me of like if I was storying like your engagement or something. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
It was very like just like obviously human made. It was like there was no like graphical element to it. And it just was making me laugh imagining like some intern showing the Queen that Instagram story right. and being like getting the approval on this. I'm like, was this sanctioned by the palace, the like Instagram story announcing the engagement? Or I feel like some like social media director just went rogue. Okay, wait, let's talk about, let's get full Us Weekly about this. What did we think of the ring?
I thought the ring was nice. I haven't still seen a close-up. I think Harry explained on the interview that the big diamond was, again, us dipping into style and fashion, was sourced from Botswana, and it had Diana's smaller diamonds around it with yellow gold. What did you think of it?
Well, I guess I appreciate that there is a emotional underpinning to it. I don't know if I sold that just now saying that. No, I think the idea that Princess Diana's stones are around it is really like lovely, actually. And the Botswana element is nice. I think it's nice that he designed it. It looked tasteful. It looked very nice, but
very
tasteful.
Very tasteful.
Yeah.
Yes.
I felt like I was into it as not someone who really could not tell you one rock from the next.
Oh my gosh, what was her manicure? I need to go back.
I can't believe, I know, like, E! Online, if they haven't already, is going to have the, like, get the Meghan Markle manicure in 4 easy steps. So, I guess, you've now listened to this 20-minute interview.
First of all, I want to note that I watched this right before I went back and watched William and Kate's engagement interview, and I hope Kate did not do that, because I have a lot of takeaways, a lot of.
All right, yeah. So let's just break into this. So what? So this is a 20-minute. It's a required viewing. 20-minute interview with the BBC that they did. I guess it's a 20-minute like Barbara Walters style sort of breakdown of their relationship, and the questions get pretty. They go for it. I was surprised, actually.
And the journalist is not like your typical entertainment journalist. This is like a serious, no-nonsense, just the news style, almost like some kind of war correspondent brought in to interview them about their relationship. Don't you agree?
Yeah, this is not Juliana Rancic. This is a whole different vibe.
They're also placed in what looks to be like a living room that has never been used. They're on a white couch. There are no like little frames or pictures. It's this weirdly barren room, which I don't know why I feel necessary that we note that. It was just a little robotic and weird to me. But so Meghan is so comfortable. You've never seen her happier. Not, of course, she should be happy. Like, this is a huge get. What she did, it's so marvelous.
I love how you say
different.
That like, I mean, in a way it is like she's like booked like a major like action franchise or something.
it's just a little bizarre. Yeah. It's a little bit strange because Kate was, you know, charming and like visibly nervous and said that she was nervous meeting William's father for the first time and the Queen, whereas Meghan made it seem like she's meeting royal family members every day of the week. She was so laid back and calm. She was much calmer and relaxed than Harry was. Did you get that vibe?
Yes, 100%. I thought Harry seemed... I mean, it's. I wonder if this is where the idea that she's an actress kind of comes into it, because she seemed so comfortable on camera. And she just was, I mean, and obviously he's been in a lot of these scenarios too, so you might think he would have been a little more at ease, but you can see he's like very reticent. I agree. I think it, like, I almost felt it was interesting, and maybe this is where you're going to go with the Kate comparison, because I haven't recently watched the Kate video, but I thought it was interesting that she almost takes the lead in certain ways. Like, I felt that like when they were asked questions about the relationship, not that this should be in any way, you know, this is, it's exciting, but she would answer first, you know, like, and it was kind
and
of like,
I want to say we are feminists.
Yes. So she's telling the story, which I loved. I thought this was kind of like nice. I think something we've talked about a lot, to be again, sort of maybe more serious than we need to be, like, is like, how much is she going to be able to still be herself in this relationship and marrying into the royal family, which comes with so many, you know, complications and stresses and restrictions. You know, she has to give up her acting career, it would seem. The interview actually made me feel better. I was like, oh, I think she can basically just be doing her thing.
Well, I was curious because Harry does seem reticent, almost like he's being forced to do this interview at gunpoint, like the entire cast and crew of Suits is somehow behind the camera.
The blind date thing is kind of confusing to me. So basically, before we get into like him saying he's never watched Suits, which you can promise we're going to like get into, he So they basically get asked how they met, which I had always thought it was the guy she was sitting next to at the Invictus Games.
Right, who, like, manages Soho House.
Yeah, and, like, that he was, like, widely reported to have been the person that set them up, like, Megan's best friend, and they met at Soho House. But this sort of makes it, she keeps referring to a she who set them up.
She keeps referring to a she, and then the interviewer asks about it, and Megan jumps in to tell Harry, well, we should protect her privacy, as if she's been doing interviews, like, as a royal since, I don't know, she was 8. But I guess it's good she knows that. But that was a little odd to me that she was jumping in to tell Harry. Like, Harry is going to blurt out
her name. Also, God, this is probably, like, another level of cynicism, but do you almost feel like maybe it is Marcus, but they said she to throw people off the scent? Or, like, do you think that's, like, thinking too much about it? I feel like maybe it still was him, but, like, I feel like the fact that they use the pronoun makes me feel like it's not that pronoun.
I agree.
But I guess, so there's some question over that. But then I love that this kind of, the notion we're meant to kind of go run with here is that neither of them really knew anything about the other at this blind date.
Which this is where I wanted to throw my computer out the window, because I think Megan answers this question first about, like, did you know Harry? And I got so angry and worked up over this.
No, I mean,
she says,
can you read what she says?
Because I'm from the States, you don't grow up with the same understanding of the royal family. I did not know much about him, so I only had one question when she wanted to set us up. Well, is he nice? Because if he was not kind, I just don't think it would have made sense. Pause to note, did you see that footage this morning from 2006? Which I don't think we even knew this about Meghan Markle. She was a deal or no deal briefcase model. I just simply cannot believe that she had no idea who the royal family is. It's not like she grew up on some commune without, like, grocery stores.
Or without, like, internet access, yeah. Also, side note, the fact that she went from Hallmark movie actress, deal or no deal briefcase woman to now Duchess Meghan is, to me, like, they're going to be telling this story even centuries to come. Like, this is the ultimate modern day Cinderella story.
This is, like, the greatest trajectory.
Like, no one has done this. She needs to write, she's not allowed, but she needs to write some sort of, like, memoir about this whole experience, because it's too much. Maybe someday.
That was just too much for me to handle.
My theory on that is, wait, tell me if I have this wrong. Because first she asked if he watched Suits. And he says no.
No, I'm pretty sure Megan.
Oh, Megan says it first. I feel like whoever said it first had to then
one up the other.
Yeah, like, I feel like you don't want to be the one that was more into the other. Gosh, now I'm, like, bringing myself into this. But, you know, like, I feel like you don't never want to be. You never want to give the other person the power in the relationship. Everyone's just, now this is going to turn into, like, a relationship podcast. But I feel like because one of them had said that, then the other had to. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
It would be weird if one of them was like. So I think she kind of just had to pretend. Also, what's she going to say? Like, no, I had Prince Harry's magazine covers up on my wall since I was, like, 14. So I think it's probably smoother that she pretended, but it's awkward. I totally agree. I don't know. I feel like this is such an awkward setup that they had to talk about each other like this.
Right. And then she talked about getting to know his family, saying it was really nice because essentially she didn't have an understanding of him from, like, the news or tabloids. So she was able to get to know him and his family through the lens of just Harry. Like, she went to the Queen's house and, you know, met his grandma.
Did you like this little corgis detail? How, like, the corgis ran up to sit by Meghan's feet, and then I guess Harry says, like, in 33 years, I only got barks from them. I guess you're supposed to understand that these corgis, like, immediately took to Meghan.
I don't know what my deal is, Josh. Why do I have a chip on my shoulder? Is it just that she doesn't have as much reverence for the crown, I guess, as I think she should, even though I'm from...
It is funny. I feel like the whole thing, she's such a it doesn't feel the way Kate clearly had, like, studied the royal family and knew exactly what to do, and she came into this sort of with, it's almost as if she had, like, been writing, like, research papers on, you know, the royal family for years before she came into this, and it was this, like, 8-year process. Meghan feels so like unpredictable, I guess. Like I almost feel like we're gonna see these weird things where like they're all going to an event and she just like does a detour and like totally goes off script, and I don't know. Like I just could see her just kind of like, it sort of seems like she's just gonna be a normal human in the kind of like really intense royal rigmarole, and I don't know how that's gonna work. Like that's where I start to get a little bit, I mean, either the royal family is gonna have to bend a little bit or she's gonna have to bend a little bit, because I feel like it, as we've seen with Kate, like there's such stringent, you know, day-to-day requirements. Maybe she won't have it in the same way Kate does, but I don't know. I'm really interested to see where this goes, because I just don't know. I feel like even watching this interview, like they seem great. I wish they didn't have to like be, you know, famous, because I feel like that's going to make this hard, but we'll see.
Right. Well, maybe also this is their way of kind of trying to modernize the monarchy by just being very casual about it. But it was interesting that the interviewer talked a lot, like was really trying to pin down the timeline of their
relationship. Yes. And like they weren't really, so wait, they say they met in July of 2016. Is that right?
They say they met in July of 2016, that they had two back-to-back dates, like one night after the other. The first night, they both talked about their charitable ambitions and how much they wanted to do for the world.
Just like every first date either of us has been on.
So then they got the second, and then I guess because of their schedules, she had to film Suits, obviously.
Yeah.
They had a hard time figuring out when to get together next. So their next date, like their third date, was in Botswana, where they were able to really get to know each other under the stars. And this trajectory, this timeline, is more fairy tale like than any Lifetime movie, I have to say.
The back to back dates followed by Botswana, I feel like suddenly it goes from like vaguely, oh, like everyone's been on a blind date, relatable, to like no one has ever had that trajectory. Like one, two, Botswana. Like that's just like not a thing. But they try to play it off as if it's sort of normal. Do you know what I mean?
Right. They really try to play it off as sort of normal. They also make a lot of references to our cottage, our house. It seems like they've been living together for a while.
I also love when they describe the cottage, because I feel like whenever they say cottage, they say it in such a way that as if they're referring to, you know, a shack with like, it's like this like run down little like well, basically, in like the middle of a deserted field, which like is insane. They live in like a beautiful mansion, I'm sure. But like, because it's called a cottage, it sounds super home, like whimsical and homespun and, you know, low key. It's just funny to me the way they talk about this cottage and what they say. They always have these like homemade meals together and stuff. I'm like, this is not, something's not right about this.
The interviewer, who I am growing to love the more I talk about her.
I feel like you and her are like spirit sisters. Like, we need to get you two together.
She asked about Megan's dogs, if the dogs have moved in yet, which I hadn't even thought about, but she said it, and I was like, good point, girl. And Megan responded by saying like, oh yes, my two rescue dogs. She made it a point of saying, mm-hmm. She said that one has moved in, but one is staying with friends back in Canada. So I want to like set some sort of investigative squad out to Canada. Why isn't that dog allowed to
wait,
be on
that,
royal premises?
Is that dog coming though, or did she not make that clear?
She didn't make that clear.
Weird. Do you think she did some sort of like reality show competition between the dogs? Maybe the queen was like, you can only have one. Wouldn't that be amazing? The queen was like, I have my corgis, like this is not going to be your thing too. Like, you get one dog and that's it. Oh, okay. We also haven't gotten to Kate yet, where she says Kate's been, what is the words she uses?
Helpful, so generous, nice. I don't know.
Wow. If only you could see Julie's eyes in delivering that little. I mean, do we think Kate and her get, I mean, this has been like our ongoing thing. Do we think they get along?
I think they get along.
Yeah.
But. And maybe, again, I'm like putting too much personal emotion and feeling into this, obviously.
Neither of us has ever done anything like that. I don't know what you're talking about.
I say this after 400 hours of podcast coverage on Meghan Markle. But I watched the Kate William interview.
Yeah,
right,
what were your learnings?
So remember, at that point, they had been dating for a long time. And the interviewer kept asking about this long timeline and their breakups in between. And they kept having to address, I felt really badly for Kate in the moment, the fact that William had essentially just stalled on proposing to her for so long. At one point, William actually said, let me find it, you know, I think the men out there can relate that sometimes we need a little motivation to get things rolling. And poor Kate's just sitting there, like, nodding along with her perfect blowout. Like, of course.
God.
I know they talked about essentially their breakup, how you have to have those highs and lows, but you come out like stronger than ever. So then to smash cut that to Meghan Markle, and at one point the interviewer asks, like, do you think this was kind of a whirlwind romance then, because they got engaged essentially a year after starting to date? And Meghan is like, no, it wasn't a whirlwind at all. Like, made it seem like it was almost a slow timeline. I just felt a little bit bad for Kate.
I feel like it's interesting that I love the interviewer too, because I really liked that she kind of starts off by saying, I don't know, maybe I'm just too used to American gushing, whatever, with these kind of interviews. But like, I like that she started by basically saying, you know, like, this is kind of fast. Like, I think she says something like, it's only been a year and a half, like kind of a whirlwind, with like a little bit of an undercurrent of like, wow, you guys did not really, you know, like it is such a whirlwind. They haven't even lived together yet. And like, really haven't even been in the same, right? But I mean, the longest they've been in the same country at the same time is probably like a week.
Well, it was interesting because Meghan said it didn't feel like a whirlwind to her. But Harry said he answered a different question, saying that because of their public
personas or whatever
persona, yeah, they had to kind of invert their relationship. Like, they started out spending a lot of time at home rather than going out on dates. So he made it seem like that fast tracked the whole process.
Wait, also, we know what we really need to do, a breakdown of like Harry's like adjectives and verbs and Meghan's. I feel like that would be an interesting breakdown. I feel like I feel like we both picked up on is like they just have a very different way. Maybe it's like a British American difference, but like their way of handling this is so different. And I guess Harry has more of the William Kate thing, where you're like a little bit, I hesitate to say repressed, but you're not quite wearing your emotions on your sleeve. Whereas Meghan's just going for it. Like, Meghan's going for the supporting actress Oscar. best actress, not supporting, but best picture and all. Best director, too. But wait, we haven't talked about the chicken yet, which is the other weird thing.
Do the royals not eat anything other than roast chicken? I feel like every royal dinner story centers around a roast chicken.
Someone needs to get them to like a sugar fish or something. Like, they need to like branch out. It's always these boring chickens. I am so sick of it. You're so right. I hadn't connected that. But okay, so apparently Kate, shows what a day it's been. Like, that's the first time I've ever done that. Meghan, I guess, was at the quote-unquote cottage, and they're eating roast chicken. I guess Harry surprises her mid-dinner, and he wanted to, like, kind of spring it on her when she wasn't expecting it. And then I think both of our favorite details was that she said yes before he could even finish proposing. Because you know she's been waiting. I was a little... What do you make of the low-keyness of it?
I was surprised because I thought that it happened in Africa. That was my conspiracy
theory. Where William
theory.
Proposed to Kate.
Right. I thought it happened a while back. I don't know. What do you think? It does seem like
I was surprised.
Really played
it seems...
this low-key. Aside from, they did not note, the interviewer did not bring up their trip to, where did they go? The Arctic Lights or the...
Oh, yeah, the Northern Lights. Gosh, we need to... Can we send her a DM to ask for a follow-up interview with them? Can you imagine you and me doing this interview with them, by the way? They would have, like, stormed out halfway through. But I feel like... let's do some like maybe again, maybe this is a little cynical. I kind of think they wanted a conscious effort to seem low key. So I almost wonder, maybe that is actually how they got engaged, but I sort of feel like it's a conscious choice, you know?
Right.
To not seem like this over the top, like hyper glamorous sort of situation. I feel like especially the modern royals and William and Kate, everything's very low key. Kate rewears her outfits. They're seen in coach class. They everything has to be very much, especially because like taxpayer dollars are at play. Like they're not going over the top. So I feel like the idea that this happened during chicken dinner sort of makes me feel like it's some sort of PR effort to seem, I don't know.
Right. Like he didn't even spring for steak. He got the chicken dinner.
Can that please be like the next Us Weekly like cover line? Harry, he didn't even spring for steak. Meghan Markle's confidants like expressed displeasure about her engagement to the prince. Okay, one, we haven't even like really gotten to focus on the wedding, which we'll have plenty of weeks to do that, though, I'm sure, over the next couple of months. But so the wedding's going to happen in the spring. I'm very interested, though, about this timing. And a question a few people have asked me today, Kate's pregnant. She's going to be delivering her due dates in April. And I feel like everyone had sort of thought June, July, summer for Harry and Meghan's wedding. But I feel like a spring wedding, to me, feels like it's before June, July. So that means it's either, I mean, you can't have a wedding when Kate Middleton is 9 months pregnant. Or like in the immediately
that's
after.
That's kind of mean. That's kind of aggressive.
Or immediately after she gives birth. Like, I feel like that's equally bizarre. So I feel like it has to then be either like significantly before her April due date, which seems too soon. So I'm just confused. It's weird timing, no?
I know, and we really need to nail down the timing soon because we need to
in the limelight London this week. Yeah. But I'm just a little bit confused because I feel like it, I thought summer made more sense, but maybe spring is being defined loosely in this scenario.
Right. Well, here, what are the official spring dates?
There we go. Let's take it to the scientist. We're scientists now. Jordan, our producer / meteorologist, says we have until June 20th, June 21st. Okay. So it can be an early June wedding and that still counts as spring. It's as if no one's ever taught me the seasons before.
So we have a good 6 months to figure out our fascinators.
Yeah, correct. I think I'm so curious to see who the bridesmaids are going to be. I mean, we have so much. There's going to be a lot to figure out here.
Right. Is Serena going to be
Serena Williams going to be in the wedding? Maybe Serena's going to be like, you didn't even come to mine. I really liked a lot of the U.S. celebrities who came out today to support Khloe Kardashian, Chrissy Teigen.
Was it sincere, their support? Or
I love how that's where Julie goes first. Yes, I think. Khloe posted, congratulations, Prince Harry and Meghan Markle. Not a lot to break down there. Then Chrissy Teigen retweeted Katie Turr and said, me too, in terms of, I'm sorry, I love this. And Chrissy saying, me too, I'm invested. So Chrissy Teigen's invested.
The Obamas issued a congrats. I bet they'll be at the wedding.
And Patrick J. Adams, her fiance from Suits, tweeted, she said she was just going out to get some milk.
Oh, that's cute. I was surprised Suits didn't tweet anything. Like, I really thought they were going to use it for some sort of promotional.
Yeah, I'm surprised they didn't have like a sizzle reel ready to go. But also, she's getting married on the next season of Suits. So if USA isn't going to somehow leverage, I guess they, I mean, at this point, like, she's not, like, they might as well just go for broke. I thought, right. I mean, Suits has never been more, on my Twitter feed today, I feel like half the conversation was about Suits. So I feel like the fact that in any way this is going to, I mean, this must drive viewership to Suits, right?
It has to. Also, well, how big do you think the wedding's going to be? Do you think it's going to be at Westminster Abbey?
Well, I think we saw something you sent me over the weekend about that they're going to have a not quote unquote non-traditional.
Oh, that's right.
Sort of like low-key wedding. But that was just one report. I sort of can't imagine it's going to be that low-key. I know there is some drama over whether or not it's going to be a bank holiday. Because William and Kate's wedding was a holiday in the UK. But I guess Harry and Meghan's will not. And I'm not sure what to make of that.
I just really, I hope there's some sort of coverage. I wish, like, if there's anyone who can infuse some Pinteresty vibes into this royal wedding atmosphere, it's totally Meghan. Can you imagine?
Like, Queen Elizabeth comes out in, like, a flower crown. I feel like there's not, to me, I don't know. There's not, I think because it's not the direct line to the throne, and after Kate has her third child, Harry will then be sixth in line to the throne, so he's not even in the top five. So I think they can be a little more, I think they can do something a little funkier, no?
I hope so. I just am very curious what the media coverage of it will be. Like, will there be a live stream at 3 a.m. or whatever it was?
It's going to be crazy because it's going to be the third child. And this is like a 2018 for the royal family is going to be something. So what were your, did you have any other final takeaways from the video interview? I mean, there's so much. I feel like we could do a whole other podcast about this interview.
I think that was my major takeaway. Just Meghan is really comfortable in this role herself. And did we talk about Harry saying he had never watched Suits?
We can never talk about it enough. Do you believe it? Because there was a report, Katie Nicholl, Vanity Fair writer, issued a report, I can't remember when, I think earlier this summer, when she said that Harry had been talking about Meghan for 2 years before meeting her, that he had like had a crush on her from watching Suits. So unclear if that's verified or not, but I had always kind of been running with that assumption that he was aware of her. And I guess this makes more, I don't know what makes more or less sense.
I don't know if I buy that. Josh, do you buy that her only question was, well, is he nice? Because what are your top five questions before going out with someone? I don't know if is he nice even falls in the top five for me. It's definitely, what does he do? How tall is he?
Yeah, I was going to say, tall, background. Like, does he know who, you know, Taylor Swift is? Yeah, I have like a few key questions. Does he know who Taylor Swift is? God, this day is really frying me. That's my one criteria point. If you don't know who Taylor Swift is, get out of the way.
They asked if Harry and Meghan were thinking about having kids. Meghan smiled, huge smile. And Harry said, well, one thing at a time, but hopefully in the near future.
Can't wait to see what those kids are going to look like. I feel like it could go in so many directions.
So many directions. Meghan also spent a lot of time like pointing out that she's made a point of meeting Princess Diana's friends and family because she wants to get to know her as much as she can. I thought that was nice.
And Harry said that Meghan and Diana would have been like BFFs, right?
Thick as thieves. They would have been best friends.
I think we'll just let that stand.
We had a viewer or a Canadian fan ask whether, I guess he was a little bit worried that the Americans would feel some ownership over the monarchy now that Meghan was marrying into it.
And we have to do we have to do some research because I also saw someone noting, will this make, is she going to, my gosh, these are questions we should know the answer to, but like, is she going to be a UK, she's going to have to become a UK citizen, I know that, but someone was saying, could their kid end up like running for president in the US? And I was like, I don't think so. It is this interesting fusion, though, of America and the royal family. I mean, Wallace Simpson was the last American to marry in. And we know how that went. So I think that I feel like there is sort of maybe, I feel like Americans are always, I've found in the past few years, to be generally interested in the shenanigans the royal family gets up to, but I feel like this seems like it's going to maybe bring it to a whole other stratosphere, right?
Right. I feel like there is a lot of intrigue that the Americans have.
Oh, 100%.
We don't really have an equivalent. It is like a fairy tale fantasy for us.
From Deal or No Deal to the ultimate deal. that's going to be my unauthorized biography of Meghan Markle, straight to the internet publishers this fall. Kidding.
Also, did you read this New York Times, the lead to the New York Times report on this?
No, can we read it?
He is a flame-haired former wild child who courted controversy in his youth by smoking cannabis and by once wearing a Nazi uniform to a party. She is a biracial divorced actress from abroad.
No, this is the New York Times?
Yes, together they are taking the British monarchy, that most conservative of institutions, into a more modern era.
Interesting.
I also saw Prince Harry and Ms. Markle, as reports the New York Times, are expected to be known as the Duke and Duchess of Sussex after they are married, according to the British news media.
Which I find, so she's going to be the Duchess of Sussex, which like I'm not going to be able to say.
Although she may be known informally as Princess Meghan.
Princess? I thought Duchess, really? The New York Times is saying that?
Yes.
Princess Meghan, but Duchess Kate? This is going to get... there are going to be so many plot lines to follow. I guess I want to make sure we get in before we close this installment, and there'll be so many more to come on this topic, obviously, that let us... We like... The feedback is so fun on this, so let us know your questions and comments.
I know. This is really going to be a roller coaster.
I feel like the next... We're all in this together at this point.
You know she already has a Pinterest board.
Yes, this wedding is going to be out of control. I really can't wait. All right. Well, that does it for this week's episode. Julie, I think we're both going to have to... I wish you were in the same place. I wish we were in London right now to get like a organic green tea in honor of Meghan Markle spiked with vodka in honor of Prince Harry.
We're really going. So I can't wait to figure out the dates. You guys are all welcome to come. Yeah.
We'll have a London meetup. Thanks so much for listening. Please let us know what you think. Let us know on Apple Podcasts. Let us know on Instagram. Let us know on Twitter. We love it. We love it.
Also, feel free to reach out to us on Twitter at In the Limelight to further discuss these subjects. You can also follow us individually. I'm at Julie W. Miller.
And I'm Jay Duboff. We're also on Instagram, In the Limelight Pod. This episode was produced and edited by our very own Meghan Markle, Jordan Bell. I don't know if Jordan's going to be happy with that comparison or not. Thanks to Andy Bowers at Panoply. Thank you all for joining us. We will talk to you next week. Let's say it together, Julie. Until next week, no bad energy.